Welcome everyone to the Open English Podcast. My name is Gabriel Aguero, your host, and joining me today is Guy Trengove. Guy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm really good, really excited, anxious as well. But I just want it to be 5 o'clock here in Buenos Aires already. How are you?
Good. Did you sleep well last night? I tossed and turned a lot. I was thinking about the game all day. How about yourself?
Yeah, I was the same. Went to bed about 2 a.m. and we've woken up early to do this. So, I'm okay, but it could be better.
Now, you did point out that you are in Buenos Aires. Usually you'd be joining us from the UK. Tell our listeners why you're in Buenos Aires. I think it's a magnificent story to share.
Okay, so I finished doing an exchange in Buenos Aires in August, and I came back to the UK to finish uni, to finish university, the last year of university. And sort of like as a joke, but semi-seriously, as the rounds went on, I was saying to my girlfriend, who is Argentinian and lives here, and my friends as well, that if Boca gets to the final, I'll come back and watch it with you guys. So it was a joke at first, but as the rounds went on and we got through Nacional, Racing, and then when we got to the semi-final, it was like, yeah, this is actually quite possible, isn't it?
You came to a realization that it's actually happening and have to go back to Argentina for the game.
yeah. But I've spent a couple of weeks here and it's been really good fun, so I don't regret it.
Excellent. Yeah, that's all that matters. You're back with friends and to watch the game, so that's awesome. I'm happy for you. Anyways, let's dive right in. Oh, by the way, was there a time change in the UK? Did the clocks go backwards an hour?
Yeah, there was on Sunday.
Okay, because my tweet is wrong. Then I put the game is 2100 hours, and somebody corrected me saying that it's 20 hours, like, so 8 p.m. And now I'm taking a look now, and I see that the UK is 4 hours ahead instead of the usual 5 from me. So it looks like, yeah, there was a time change and I just wasn't aware of it. Anyways, the clocks go backwards here in New York tonight into Sunday. So it'll be back to 5 hours. Anyways, let's dive straight into the game. Not the game itself. First thing I want to touch on is our form. Boca's form, Fluminense's form. You're going to have to pardon me. I can't remember the last time I recorded. I think it was after the Superclásico, if I'm not mistaken. It was after, no, the match against Palmeiras. We touched on the Superclásico. We touched on the triumph against Palmeiras, clinching the Copa Libertadores final. And since then, our form continues, especially in the domestic front, continues to be very, very irregular. We had an absolute thriller in Córdoba. Boca lost 4-3 to Belgrano. Boca went down 1-0, ended up going up 2-1. Then Belgrano ended up going up 4-2, and Boca got a third goal in the 57th minute of the second half. So it was an absolute thriller. Nobody expected 7 goals from a match like that, but it actually happened. It was so weird. Every time it looked like Belgrano got in front of goal, they scored. It was very piss-poor defending. But all in all, our form in the domestic front continues to be so poor. We got past Talleres, penalty shootout in the Copa Argentina. That was, if I'm not mistaken, the quarterfinal of the Copa Argentina. Yes, that was the quarterfinal of Copa Argentina against Talleres. Then we got a 2-1 win at home Friday, October 20th, which would have been my father's birthday. And then we lost 2-1 to Racing. Last minute goal from Racing at the Cilindro. Then a 0-0 draw to Estudiantes, a pale draw on the 28th of October. And here we are, very next game, Copa Libertadores final against Fluminense. So, Guy, do you want to just summarize quickly what you think of our form in the domestic front? It's pretty obvious that a lot of that has to do with, or almost all of that has to do with, the Copa Libertadores final. Almirón has been fielding second string and even third string lineups, mixing up a lot of names just to avoid the likes of Cavani, Eki Fernandez, Valentini, those sorts of players picking up injuries. What do you think of our form domestically? I mean, it's been very poor, and the same thing for Fluminense, who has picked up two wins in their last nine games.
Yeah, I'd say that I think we're in the same space that we are when we talked after the Superclásico. The form is not really improving. And it's so irregular, like you mentioned. I touched on Boca Estudiantes, the last game before this game that's coming up, the Copa Libertadores final. The 11 was completely different. I went to that game last Saturday, and it was just, it was horrible to watch. It was horrible to watch. I mean, these second string players do not give Almirón any selection difficulties at all.
Right.
They're so obviously not as good as the other, as the starting players that have played in the whole Copa Libertadores campaign. So it is what it is. But I understand why he did that. I mean, you want to protect your players, don't you? I mean, during the game, Barco came on and looked like he got some sort of knock. I was on the floor for a while. But I understand why they're apprehensive to play players that could be crucial for them in the final day.
Right. So let's move on to the preview of tonight's game, or this afternoon's game itself, against Fluminense. The starting 11 I called, like, I don't know, I was talking to a couple friends about a week ago in our group chat, and they were sort of debating what our starting 11 would be, and I sent them the starting 11. I said it's going to be this: Romero, Advíncula, Figal, Valentini, Fabra, Medina, Paul, Fernandez, Eki Fernandez, Marco, Merentiel, and Cavani. That is the 11 that Almirón practiced with yesterday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. He did not practice with Barco just for precaution. Barco had some discomfort in his hamstring, so for precautionary reasons, he didn't scrimmage with Barco. Instead, it was a little bit of a different lineup. Romero, Advíncula, Figal, Valentini, Fabra, Medina, Paul, Fernandez, Eki Fernandez, and up top, Merentiel, Cavani, and Langoni. So a 4-3-3. That's the lineup from Wednesday. Again, it was only for precautionary reasons that Barco was not included in that 11. But every other day in practice this week, it's the first 11 that I read out, the one that's most likely going to start this afternoon, God willing. Hopefully there's no injuries, nobody gets hurt in the warm-up or anything like that. Guy, what do you think of that 11? I mean, it's pretty standard. I'm pretty sure it's the same 11 that faced Palmeiras in Brazil and at home. I'm just taking a quick look right now, see if I could find the game. There it is. It's pretty much, it's the exact same 11 that played in Brazil, except Rojo played over Valentini. Rojo, for all our listeners, picked up a red card in the second leg against Palmeiras, so he won't be playing. If he didn't have that red card, it would definitely be Rojo over Valentini. But what do you think of that 11, guy? Tell me your thoughts.
It's the trusted 11, isn't it? It's
right.
At this stage of the tournament, it's the 11. It's the one that we know that is going to start. I mean, there's no sort of second guessing or anything like that, I don't think, with Almirón very often in the big games. I mean, in smaller games, sure, he'll make lots of changes, but I think I think we all know this is going to be the 11. I think I'm not worried about Medina, but he has not been himself, let's say, the last few weeks, and he was so key for us in the group stage and in the prior rounds to the final, but hopefully he can pick up today.
Right. Let's go into Fluminense really quick, and then we'll go back to Boca. Their expected 11, this is from an analyst from Boca. His name is Pancho. He works for Cadena Ceneice. He does brilliant analysis on Twitter, with these awesome graphics and lots of information on there. Expected 11 would be Fabio in goal, Samuel Javier, Nino, Felipe Melo. This is news to me. I didn't know he was playing at center back now instead of midfield, but I guess that makes sense because of his age. And then the legendary Marcelo as left back. In midfield, John Arias, Ganso, who played with Neymar back in Santos like a decade ago, Andre Cano, Germán Cano, and Kennedy. Now, a name I just want to touch on is Germán Cano. He has the same amount of goals as Boca as a team. Boca have scored 12 goals this Copa Libertadores campaign. Germán Cano has scored 12 goals by himself for Fluminense. Fluminense is a team that I've read likes to keep a lot of possession, especially at home. They had more possession than River at the Monumental, and River is known as a team in South America to hold the ball, control the ball a lot, and just have a lot of possession. Statistically, it's just the way they play. So for Fluminense to have more possession than River at the Monumental is pretty impressive. So is a very good team, very solid team, and Germán Cano is definitely a player I'd like, you know, us to completely lock down. In my point of view, he is a key player for Fluminense. If we can lock him down, I think, you know, I definitely do fancy our chances. Are there any players, Guy, from Boca's point of view, who you think is a key player, somebody who you think needs to be on the top of their game, somebody who you think we cannot afford to have a poor performance this afternoon?
Yeah, I think both Fernandes, I think Paul Fernandes and Ricky Fernandes, I think Paul Fernandes, since Varela has gone, I think we've already touched on it before, but he is often replaced Varela in that five role, and in the later stages of the Copa America, Copa Libertadores, he wishes he was playing in the Copa America. In the latter stages of the Copa Libertadores, he's done really well, especially in the second leg against Palmeiras. I felt like he really held his own after really not offering much in the last few months. Barco as well, I think we know how good he is. Every time he plays, he's a 7.5 out of 10, 8 out of 10. Let's hope that injury doesn't, or that knock doesn't affect his game today.
Yeah, I agree. Barco is a player who has been very, 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 very steady on, you know, really, really good form. I think he'll put out a top performance. If I had to pick a player who we absolutely need, is absolutely crucial, it's for me, Merentiel. Merentiel has been unbelievable this year. He has exceeded expectations for this club. I think the board did a tremendous good job in just scouting him and bringing him in on loan from Palmeiras, a team who we played in the Copa Libertadores. But it looks like we're going to keep him. It looks like the transfer fee, the buyout option for him is $3 million, if I'm not mistaken. And it looks like, especially if we do win the Copa Libertadores, because of the economic prizes that we would win, let alone already being in the final. But it does look like Boca will purchase Merentiel from Palmeiras. I think he's been a crucial player. He just plays with a lot of heart, a lot of grit out there. He completely, excuse my language, busts his ass all over the pitch every single time he goes out there. He has definitely taken advantage of every time he's been selected in the starting 11 by Almirón and any other coach that we've had. And I think him and Cavani definitely complement each other very well. Another player who I think needs to have a really good game is Figal. Figal, when we first signed him, he was performing very, very well. And then he had sort of a dip, and he's been inconsistent. As of late, he's been back to really good form, so we can't afford any of our defenders to slip up at any point. This isn't a 180 match affair like the classic old Libertadores, like we remember when we were kids. This is just 90 minutes. So the underdog here, I'm not saying it's Boca and I'm not saying it's Fluminense, but whoever the underdog is, definitely has a really good chance of snatching a win here if the other team makes a mistake. Okay, so we need everybody to be 100% concentrated. Favre, please, for the love of God, track back, track your man. Offensively, Fauda, we know his capabilities. Defensively, we also know his capabilities. But I do really fancy your chances. I think if we perform like we did in the first half against Palmeiras in Brazil, or if we perform like we played against Palmeiras at Leon Bonera, where we completely outplayed them. Palmeiras has been arguably the best team in Brazil in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And we completely outplayed them in Leon Bonera. Nothing to show for it, unfortunately, because we didn't score any goals. But if we can replicate that performance or the first half against Palmeiras in Brazil, I think we're in really, 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 really good shape. Last thing I want to ask you, my friend, any predictions for tonight?
The absolute shithouse in me, sorry for that language, but the absolute shithouse in me says, please, 0-0, 0-0, extra time, 0-0, penalties, please. But penalties. I don't think it's going to happen. I think if we win, I think it's going to be 2-1. Very tight 2-1. Perhaps go to extra time. I don't see us scoring lots of goals, but I don't see Fluminense scoring lots of goals either, because I think it's going to be one of those cagey affairs.
Yeah. Stole the word right out of my mouth. I don't think this game goes into a penalty shootout. I really don't. I also think it's going to be a 2-1 win for Boca. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win in the 90 minutes. I think it's going to be 1-1 into halftime, and Boca gets a second-half goal. Whoever wants to score it, go ahead. I don't really care. It could be Romero for all I care, off of a corner kick or something. but I think it's 2-1. I think before we close this out, let's just touch on the atmosphere in Brazil really, really quick. Do you have any, apart from our members, Nico, Faku, and everybody else who's there, our boy Rodrigo, who's also in Brazil. Any thoughts? Do you have any friends who are in Brazil, Guy?
Lots of the guys from the Departamento Interior Exterior, who work with the international members groups, right, have gone to Brazil, and I've seen lots of their videos, lots of their photos. They look like they're really enjoying themselves, because at the beginning the week it looked like perhaps it wasn't going to go as well as it might in terms of fan atmosphere and behavior, and unfortunately things that Fluminense Barras have been up to are really quite hard to watch back home if you've got friends there. But the last 2 days it's looked really good. Banderazo, the big party that they had on Copacabana Beach last night. Remember, we're recording this on Saturday morning, so we're talking about Friday night. That looked really good fun, and I'm extremely jealous. So
yeah, oh, I'm beyond jealous. I was watching a bunch of videos that Facundo was sending into our group chat, and just videos on Twitter. It looks like a magnificent atmosphere. It looks like the fans are having a lot of fun. Unfortunately, there was some disturbances 2 days ago where a massive group of Fluminense fans ambushed Boca supporters, and Boca supporters faced the backlash from the police. There's an Argentine, consulate member, not consulate, what do you call it, embassy. There's a woman who works for the Argentine embassy in Brazil saying Boca supporters have to understand that the police will be on Fluminense's side and reprimand Boca supporters instead, even though their behavior isn't bad. I read that headline and it almost threw up in my mouth. I don't understand what that means. I don't understand why police can't be impartial. I mean, I do understand, but I don't understand at the same time. There's just so much corruption in South America as a whole. It's pretty pathetic for Boca supporters to be, one, ambushed and then reprimanded by the police with tear gas and rubber bullets. It's pretty pathetic. It's sad. Go ahead.
It's on Conmebol that though as well, isn't it? I mean, as soon as Fluminense got through to the final, they knew if it was Boca or if it was anyone else, the same thing was going to happen to their fans.
Yeah.
The away team, in inverted commas, the away team fans. Because Fluminense, Barras, fans, whatever you want to call them, they know the back streets, they know everything. It's literally like playing at home for them, isn't it?
Right.
They're like, in a certain sense, the fans are like sitting ducks, aren't they? Because they're there as tourists.
Right. Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation, but it looks like the atmosphere has cleaned up a bit. The official Twitter page for Fluminense's Barra Brava has released a statement saying that they want peace, no more violence, this, that, and the third. Who knows if that's actually going to happen. But all I know is in the stadium, at the Maracana, the home team is Boca. We're always the home team no matter where we go. Rio, La Boca, obviously, Tokyo, London, Manchester, doesn't matter where we go, we're always the home side. My friend Guy, it has been an absolute pleasure recording this episode. I'd love that we have the same exact prediction for tonight's game. Anything else you'd like to add before we close this one out?
Merentiel, la bestia, la bestia, la bestia. He's going to do it.
He's Merentiel. Scoring tonight, guarantee, right?
Yes, guarantee.
Excellent, excellent. Guy, thank you so much again for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.